The litter-bearing party Ted Brodigan had organized had borne the young gunslinger to Corbett Hall, where he was laid in the spacious bedroom of the first-floor Proctor suite. The litter-bearers lingered in the dormitory's courtyard, and as the afternoon wore on, the rest of the breakers joined them. When Roland and Jake arrived, a pudgy red-haired woman stepped into Roland's way.
"Lady, I wouldn't do that," Jake had thought. "Not this afternoon."
In spite of the day's alarums and excursions, this woman, who'd looked to Jake like the lifetime president of his mother's garden club, had found time to put on a fairly heavy coat of makeup, powder, rouge, and lipstick as red as the side of a Devar fire engine. She introduced herself as Grace Rumbelow, formerly of Aldershot, Hampshire, England, and demanded to know what was going to happen next, where they would go, what they would do, who would take care of them. The same questions the rooster-headed Tahin had asked, in other words.
"For we have been taken care of," said Grace Rumbelow in ringing tones.
Jake had been fascinated with how she said "been," so it rhymed with "seen."
"And are in no position, at least for the time being, to care for ourselves."
There were calls of agreement at this. Roland looked her up and down, and something in his face had robbed the lady of her measured indignation.
"Get out of my road," said the gunslinger, "or I'll push you down."
She grew pale beneath her powder and did as he said without uttering another word. A bird-like clatter of disapproval followed Jake and Roland into Corbett Hall, but it didn't start until the gunslinger was out of their view and they no longer had to fear falling beneath the unsettling gaze of his blue eyes. The breakers reminded Jake of some kids with whom he'd gone to school at Piper, classroom nitwits, willing to shout out stuff like, "This test sucks," or "Bite my bag," but only when the teacher was out of the room.